Englishman is once again at the helm of the world's oldest chivalric order. Fra Matthew Festing was elected the new Grand Master of the 900-year-old Order of the Knights of Malta in a secret ballot in Rome on Tuesday. Fra Festing, the 59-year-old former Grand Prior of England, replaces the order's first English Grand Master, Fra Andrew Berti, who passed away in February. Pope Benedict XVI was informed of Fra Festing's election before it was publicly announced on Tuesday. While the Catholic lay religious order, which established a hospital to care for pilgrims in Jerusalem almost 1,000 years ago, continues serving the needy with its worldwide network of humanitarian and medical aid. It is also a sovereign state holding observer status at the United Nations and diplomatic relations with 100 nations. Well, shortly after the elections on Tuesday, I went down to the Via Condotti headquarters of the Knights of Malta and spoke to the Grand Hospitaller of the Order, Albrecht von Boselager, about Fra Festing's election and what it is hoped he will bring to the Knights of Malta.
Matthew Festing has been for almost 20 years the Grand Prior of our priory in England, and during this time has taken part personally in many of our activities. So he has gone regularly to Lourdes with our pilgrimages, taking care of sick and handicapped people. He frequently went to different places on the Balkans after the war on the Balkans to help in our projects. So he is from many sides, has been very much involved in our mission from the Order of Malta and is experienced. And that's, I think, one of the reasons he was elected as Grand Master.
And how exactly do these elections take place?
There are about 50 electors, and they come from all over the world. And different groups of electors elect their representatives into what we call the Council Complete of State. So there are the members of the actual government of the order and delegates from the priories and associations. And they vote. And that's pretty similar to other religious orders or even in the conclave. There is no candidate, and it turns out during the votes, consequent votes, who will become the next Grand Master.
Once the new Grand Master takes the oath for his new office, the Pope is alerted that a new Grand Master has been selected. What is the relationship between the Order of Malta and the papacy?
The Order of Malta is a religious order. Its members are divided into three classes. And the first class have the three vows, like monks in other orders of celibacy, obedience, and poverty. So in that sense, it's a religious order. And therefore, we are, as an order, integral part of the Catholic Church, and of course, under the Pope. But the order has a double nature. It's also a sovereign entity of international law, and has an ambassador to the Holy See, and the Holy Father appoints a so-called Cardinalis Patronus, who one can say is the ambassador of the Holy Father to the order. So it's on one side a religious order, and on the other side, like a small state, a sovereign entity of international law.
Now, what will be the role of the new Grand Master in the Order of Malta in this third millennium? Where will he be taking it?
That's a great. I'm not a prophet, but I think that he will provide for continuity regarding the development of the recent 20, 30 years. The order has had rather fast development of its outreach into the world and activities, and the activities have expanded enormously during the last 20 years. The new Grand Master has been involved in it, and I think this will continue under his leadership. I think one reason why he was elected is that he was quite successful in his priory in England to encourage new vocations to the first class. That's a concern in the order, that we are lacking vocations into the first class, and under his leadership of the Grand Priory of England, quite a number of new professed knights came into the order, and we hope that he can bring this experience in for the whole order.
And what exactly
do the various orders do? For example, you're talking about this first order. They take special vows. But what are their duties, their obligations in the order?
They do not live in community, so they continue to live in the world, and as far as they don't have a special appointment of the order, they continue with their normal profession. But they, of course, live according to the vows they have pronounced. They live celibate, in poverty, and obedient to their superiors. The second, so-called second class, are members who normally are, or most of them are married, but they take a promise of obedience. And the members of the third class do not take any legally binding promise or commitment, but they commit themselves in their conscience to further the mission of the order and to take part in it.
In a moment when vocations, religious vocations, have dwindled quite substantially over the past decades, do you think the Order of Malta offers something different for people who are seeking a new vocation in life?
We observe with gratitude an increasing attraction of our order for young people. We have really partly fast-growing groups of young people under the roof of the order, carrying out the mission of the order in serving the sick and the poor, and also in, let's say, looking for a deeper spirituality and a more religiously driven life. That does not say, of course, automatically that they once will take the three vows. But we hope that this almost 1,000-year-old mission of the order, which never ceased to attract people, will also attract people in the third millennium.
How does the order now work throughout the world to provide services to in healthcare, for example?
That depends very much on the area of the world or the countries. So it's very different from what we do, for instance, in England, France, or Germany, or in Africa or South America. So in Europe, we run hospitals, homes for the elderly, specialized homes for handicapped people, and we have many volunteer corps. So we have about 80,000 permanent volunteers who traditionally were trained in first aid and provided ambulance services and were active in civil protection and disaster relief. Now they are taking over more and more also, let's say, social tasks like visiting lonely people, helping the homeless, volunteer services for terminal ill people at home, and so on. So the mission is widening. In third world countries, especially in Africa, we have basic healthcare programs. We fight infectious diseases like malaria, lepra, sleeping sickness. We have a special program in Congo to care for raped women, as rape has become an intended means of war, especially in eastern Congo and now in Kenya, unfortunately. So we have programs to take care of them medically, psychologically, and to provide social counseling to their families or their villages so that they will be able to be reintegrated in their families.
Though members of the order have good reason to be pleased with the amount of good they are bringing to the remotest parts of the planet, some important challenges do remain.
In this third world and in areas of armed conflicts is the increasing disregard of the humanitarian law and human rights. So armies and rebels more and more target civilian population and do not regard the protection of the helpers. That's something we have to address more loudly in the international society to work against it. In our Western societies, I think the great challenge is to remind people that men are made in the image of God, that they enjoy an untouchable dignity from conception to the natural death. So, for instance, in most countries of Europe, we are expanding our programs for terminal ill people and palliative care to fight by this example the tendency of euthanasia. And I'm concerned about the financial development of the healthcare systems in our societies, which, if it goes on like the tendency is at the moment, in a greater differentiation of care between the rich and the poor, so that the poor have no more the same access to modern and expensive care than others. And that's, I think, something which is not good.
And a very warm thanks there to Albrecht von Boselager, the Grand Hospitaller of the Sovereign Order of the Knights of Malta.